The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hi there. Winter is here with the cold front across most of the country. But a very warm welcome to the Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in the country's dynamic property industry. Joining us on this latest podcast is John Lewis, senior economist at FNB Commercial Property Finance. And we're taking a look at what's happening in the office property market in South Africa following several tough years. That's even before COVID hit and the work from home phenomenon. John Lewis was last on the podcast just over 2 years ago, back in January 2023. And that was our 45th episode. But he's a familiar commentator on commercial property sector and has been on other MoneyWeb shows more recently. John, welcome back to the Property Pod on our 161st episode.
Thank you, Suren. Good to be here.
How have things changed in the office property market since we last spoke around 2 years ago? Are things improving?
Well, things have improved moderately, I think it's fair to say. What we've seen, we have seen investor demand for office space, according to our FNB broker surveys, has been rising in recent quarters, and the demand-supply imbalance in the market, there was a big oversupply of that property on the market. I'm not talking about vacancy rates, they're still high, but talking about investor demand. That demand-supply imbalance has improved significantly. There's a bit of an oversupply still, but it's a lot less than 3 years ago or so, according to our brokers. So that's coming right. Vacancy rates have gradually been trending down. They're still on the high side. If we take Reuters reports, for vacancies, first quarter down again to 12.8%. They were up nearer to 16% or so a few years ago. That's for A and B grade, but they've been improving. So it's still a weak market. It's still the weakest market of the three major commercial markets, the others being industrial and retail, but gradually improving. And a lot of the, quite a chunk of the investor demand, according to our broker surveys, is actually for residential conversion of the old space. So that's mopping up oversupplies too. So it's all coming slowly back into balance, or has been over the last few years or so.
Okay. But in your recent statement following that survey that FNB regularly does, your comment is it's expected to be a stronger office property sector going forward. I'm not going to share too much detail there. It's over to you. But can you share some insight on this? What's behind the more positive outlook over the next few years?
Yeah, well, we expect a mildly stronger office, industrial and retail, the whole commercial market. But yes, so that includes office. I think firstly, on the supply side, we expect new building activity, especially in Greater Johannesburg and Tshwane, or Gauteng to be exact, where there's quite big oversupplies. We expect there to be very little building activity in the office space. So the supply side is constrained, which is obviously good from a property returns point of view. And then interest rates have been coming down. So I think that's the mild stimulus. The economy as yet hasn't been showing much improvement. So the first quarter GDP figure, 0.1% quarter on quarter growth. So that wasn't, so we don't get any significant extra demand for office space from the economy just yet. But interest rates have been coming down mildly. We do think that the whole tariff wars globally will land at something less than what had been feared perhaps a few months ago, that thus just softening the blow to the global economy. So we do anticipate a moderate acceleration in economic growth. And that too starts to increase the demand for all types of commercial property, including office property, whose supply is being constrained, whose old supply is being mopped up for residential conversions, and a little bit more demand for space. There has been a bit of a back-to-the-office drive as well. I think we're going back to the levels of office attendance of before COVID are unrealistic. It's more a hybrid model now. But nevertheless, there has been some back to office drive that may just also contribute to an extra bit of office space. So it's all mild demand boosts, interest rates declining and so on. Nothing too extreme. But we just think that that can lead to a moderate improvement as we move into the second half of 2025.
So it's looking better, but the fact that office is such a large part of the commercial property sector and it's the worst performing of the big three, as it were, office, retail and industrial / logistics. Some insights there, you know, you do have some companies talking still about negative rent reversions, for example. You know, so it's not all plain sailing.
No, it's not all plain sailing, but certainly if we look at the Roeder report, which aggregates office rentals nationally, they were recording in the first quarter 4.8%. That's above general inflation, so it's back to positive in real terms. It was 4.2% about in the previous quarter. So that's been accelerating in recent quarters too. And I think that just reflects the declining trend in office vacancy rates, which puts a little bit more, constrains supply of available office space. And therefore, that demand that's coming for office space just has to bid a little bit higher in the face of increasing scarcity. I wouldn't say it's overly scarce just yet. You know, Roeder's A and B grade office vacancy rates still in low double digit figures. But nevertheless, significantly lower than where it was a few years ago, which starts to make some sort of a difference on rental inflation.
Now, looking at regionally, I don't know if you go into that much detail, but you did mention the Roeder report, so you'd have some insights from there. What are the trends in terms of office performance? We know Cape Town is doing well all round on various sides of the property market, but do you have a snapshot of the major cities, Joburg, Sandton, Cape Town, obviously, Durban, Umhlanga, perhaps a little bit around Pretoria?
Yes, well, if we look at the aggregated ones per city, the eThekwini the big coastal metros, eThekwini and Cape Town, well down into single digits territory when it comes to office vacancy rates. Not so for the Tshwane picture and the greater Johannesburg picture, still well into double digit figures and struggling to decline further. So it's a tale of sort of two major markets, the Gauteng one being significantly weaker and significantly more oversupplied. Down on the coast, a different story. We hear a lot of noise down in Durban about call center demand for call center space, occupying quite a noticeable chunk of the office space there. I don't have data to show just how much is call centers, but that's the noise we hear from there. And then there's Cape Town, which generally is always a little bit more supply constrained because of its land scarcities and, you can't go outwards from the city bowl. Well, you can go to decentralized nodes, but Cape Town all over is more land scarce, more valuable agricultural land on the periphery of Cape Town. So it struggles to expand more in general. And not surprisingly, one would expect to see less likelihood of oversupplies there. And of course, Cape Town is also a very popular destination now. It's benefited from two decades or so of the skilled semigration that we talk about. Very well-run Metro Council by all reports, relative to the rest of the country, that is. And so I think what's starting to happen is the city of Cape Town and the Western Cape province in general may be starting to open up a gap in terms of economic outperformance over the rest of the country. And that may also just be leading to a bit more growth in demand for supply of various commercial space, including office space.
Thanks for that insight. I know Cape Town is also quite, you hear a lot about the call center demand in that part of the world as well, from the likes of Spear and others also filling up that space. But it's always good to get some further insights from you on that. I know you mentioned interest rates. How important are interest rates for the office sector? We know how significant it is for the residential property market, but for office property?
Well, look, I'd say the commercial property sector is less credit driven than residential. Residential is very sensitive to interest rates, highly credit driven. Commercial, a little bit less, but still heavily credit driven. So any reduction in interest rates can and probably should be expected to boost demand for commercial property as well, and you know, including office space. And then, of course, there's all the indirect, that's investor demand, credit-driven investor demand. But it also helps the tenant populations as well very often, because they have various forms of debt in their businesses too. So interest rates helps the financial health of the tenant population on the commercial property side of the property market. And financial health for tenants can mean greater expansion. So you know, interest rates have their, interest rate cutting has direct and indirect impacts on all forms of property, or most forms of property. And yeah, I think office is no different. So I think that's largely why we started to see late last year in our broker surveys an uptick in the demand, the sales activity that the brokers experienced across office space, across industrial, and across retail. That was largely, I think, interest rate driven, with interest rates having started to be cut in September last year.
It's a listed property. It's not a question, but there is some interest in terms of capital raising too. So there is a lot of, there's more things taking place in the property sector generally. On the interest rates, I wanted to get, I'm not going to ask you about your expectation for July, but there has, especially with the GSE, there's been a lot of positive sentiments with the GSE reaching record highs. What are your expectations around interest rates? As I said, not for July per se, but especially now with SARB and National Treasury increasingly talking about lowering the inflation target, that could unlock lower interest rates on the medium to longer term for South Africa and the economy more broadly.
It is possible. I'm not sure about in the short term, because they would first want to anchor inflation expectations down at that lower level where it finds itself now. Look, we haven't yet moved to an official lower inflation target, but yes, there is very strong noise that that's the way it could be going. So I would think that they'd want to anchor inflation expectations at a lower level, and once you've done that, then, you know, inflation expectations become a self-fulfilling prophecy, so to a large extent. So that during that process, you might find a cautious SARB that may not, for, you know, in the near term, cut interest rates too much further. We do expect a further 25 basis point cut, and then FNB believes that that's probably where they'll stop for the time being. But yes, if you can successfully get inflation expectations down over the longer run, and that's where our inflation starts to sit from a, you know, structurally, should I call it that, then conceivably you could have lower interest rates than what otherwise would have been the case. It's true. But in the near term, we don't expect much more rate cutting. We've got one more cut penciled in late in the second half of this year, and that's probably where we stop for the, we think it's where we stop for the time being.
Thanks for that. We'll just end on a development note. I know you said development has slowed quite a bit, which is also helping the market, and you're having office to residential conversions. But I interviewed the Cape Town CCID deputy chair, I think, last week, and he talked about the increasing development of mixed-use projects. Will this make the office property sector more sustainable going forward? Do you have any thoughts on that, just from a development side?
I think that's probably the way to go when you talk about mixed use, and if there's an office component and there's a residential component. And you know, the problem in our big cities more and more is congestion and costs of commuting in terms of, well, financial and time. So, you know, if you can eat, sleep, live, work, play, shop, do everything in some sort of mixed-use precinct or development, I think that's probably the way that many people would like to go in future. So, yes, I mean, I think more of that is probably the future, where we don't have, well, I mean, I suppose we've been seeing it move that way over time, where you've got less dormitory suburbs. Many years ago used to be dormitory towns. Now they, you know, the retail moved out into suburbs, and you've got estates with retail and even an office component in them. And then in the CBDs, you've got strong, you know, sort of residential developments, your V&A waterfront with everything in. So I guess, you know, it's property development is more mixed in general, and developments as such, I would think you'd get more of these mixed use developments as time goes by, especially in the high density type nodes, such as, you know, whether it's Cape Town City Bowl or whether it's Northern or Johannesburg around Sandton. I would think that you would get more of that. Yes.
John, I appreciate your time on the podcast. Thank you so much. That was John Lewis, the senior economist at FNB Commercial Property Finance.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories.